we're into the third session here on our sermon series for Lent, When You Pray. And I just want to remind you that the devotionals for this week are in the back. What we're doing is, as we go through these weeks of Lent, there's a new devotional for you each week that'll take you from Monday to the following Sunday. And this week it's green. We're doing a different color each week. And if you miss one along the way, they're on the website. So you can go on the website, print it out, or just go in there and read it, or download it, however you want to do it. But this is just something that is kind of a daily meal for us as we go through this season of Lent, paying attention to our spiritual disciplines and eliminating the things that distance us from God. So this is what this is for. And what you find inside of here is a scripture and a reading and then a prayer to say. And it's just something to get you started on your day, something to nourish your soul as together we do this and journey through Lent as a church. Now we're continuing our series of sermons here, and what we're doing is we're breaking down the Lord's Prayer. You know, when the disciples said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us how to pray," and Jesus said, "When you pray, say," he gave us some incredible words. And what we're doing is we're breaking these words down each week and saying, what was he really talking about when he did this? And today we finally get to that point where we say, give us this day our daily bread. What we've done up to this point is it's been all about God. You know, your will, God, your kingdom, God, hallowed be your name. Now we've gotten to that point where we're finally ready to ask God for something that we need. So before we do anything in praying for ourselves, we kind of position ourselves with God and know about God and what God means to us. In your bulletin, you're going to find a little set of sermon notes there. And in those sermon notes, it's just a guide. It's an outline to go through the sermon. And my prayer is always that God speaks to us in worship, that he'll say something to us. So if you hear something today that's God talking to you, just write it down. That way it'll be there for you later in the week. Okay. We're talking today about bread. Okay, now bread, we find in the scriptures that bread is referred to as the staff of life. And what does that mean? Five times in the scriptures we hear bread referred to as the staff of life. And when we look back to those Hebrew words, what the Hebrew word for staff means, it means staff. So it means a cane, a walking stick. And when we think about that, what a walking stick does is it's something that you can lean on, something that will support you, and something that helps you move forward when maybe you're not able to do it on your own. So that staff, that cane, helps us move forward. So we would then say the bread of life would be that thing that we can lean on, that'll support us, that helps us move forward in our journey. Something that we can depend on as we move through this world. Okay, and what we think of when we think of bread and we think of the staff of life, we look up bread in the Bible, and we find that bread is mentioned 300 times in the Bible. Bread is very important in the Bible. Actually, when you go through the Bible, if you just took out all of the stories about bread, you can tell the whole redemptive story of Scripture just by talking about bread. Think about that. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and things don't go so well in the garden, and God says to them, from this day on, you will toil and sweat for your bread. All right? That's the very beginning, right where everything starts. It's right there. And then we take a little jump, and we go a little further forward in the Bible, and we find Esau. Esau did something he really shouldn't have done. He was a bit short-sighted, and he gave away his birthright, his inheritance to his younger brother Jacob, all for what? A bowl of soup and a loaf of bread. Okay. And next we find the Israelites, the sons of Jacob. They're in the land of Canaan, and there's a famine. All right. And as a result of that famine, they have to travel to Egypt in order to go and find their bread. And while they're there, they're put into slavery for 400 years. They end up captives in Egypt during that time. And then Moses comes along, and Moses comes to the Israelites, and he says, through all of these things that God was doing and the response of Pharaoh and the plagues and other things, Moses says, come on, we got to get out of here, and we got to go now. We don't have much time. Gather up everything you have. We got to go. And they were baking bread. But they didn't have enough time for the yeast act, so they took with them unleavened bread. They baked it as it was. It's all part of the story. And then if we jump forward even further than that, we find that they're in the wilderness for these 40 years, and they start to complain about the food that they weren't getting there, and they went to God, and they cried out to God, and God said, okay. And we hear the story of the manna that John told the kids this morning. And he said, I'm going to give you this manna. And he says, you gather it up, and you're going to use that to bake your bread. And then we jump forward to the time of Jesus, and we find, especially at this time of year, Jesus is in the desert, and he's tempted. The devil comes to him, and he holds out this thing, which is a stone, but he shows it to Jesus and said, you could make bread out of this. I know you're hungry. You know if you're the Son of God, you could do this. Just step forward, Jesus, and turn this into bread. All right? There's another, the bread story. Of course, Jesus doesn't fall for that, but later he's spending a lot of time with the townsfolk, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They get upset with him because he's spending a lot of time with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners, and he's breaking bread with them. And they're getting very, very upset at him. You know, and then we find him at a place where there's 1,000 people or thousands of people who are listening to his sermon. He's talking to them, and he turns to the disciples. He realizes everybody's hungry. He says, what have you brought to eat? And they said, well, we got a couple loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And he gives thanks, and he multiplies the bread so that thousands are fed, and there's some left over. And then we finally find him on that very last night of his life. When he's with his disciples, he'll be arrested in just an hour or so, and the next day he'll be crucified. It'll be a terrible time. But inside of that, the very last thing that Jesus chooses to do with his disciples is sit down at a table and pick up the bread and break it, and then give it to his disciples and say, take, eat, this is my body. Every time you do this, remember me. And Bible scholars believe that we're called to do that every time we break bread together, not just when we come here at church on the first Sunday of the month and we experience the Eucharist or communion, but every time we sit down and break bread together, we're called to remember that Jesus is the bread of life. The whole biblical narrative can be told through the lens of bread. Now, that is our backdrop, but that is our introduction. There's three things that we want to cover here. There's three questions. Give us this day our daily bread. Number one, give us. What is Jesus saying when he tells us to turn to the Lord, to turn to the Father and say, hallowed be your name, give us? What's he saying there? Okay. And then he says these other words. He says, give us. And then he says, this day, morning to evening, dawn to dusk, just this one day. Give us just this one day. What is he saying inside of that? And then finally, what does he mean by daily bread? What does he mean when he says that? Now, bread can be a symbol for many different things, and it seems very simple, but I think we'll find out he's talking a little bit more about that. Okay, first of all, give us. What does it mean when he say give us? What he's saying here is, well, you remember in the scriptures they say, God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. This is give us is an invitation to trust God and to not worry that God will give you everything that you need. And the truth is, when Jesus tells us to do this, we worry about a lot of things. We are professional worriers. You know, in times of uncertainty and adversity, you know, we do things a little bit differently because we're worrying about things, you know. Actually, I heard a financial advisor say one time, he said, you know, when there's an economic downturn, he said, the sin stocks are really good. He says, you know, shares in companies of alcohol, tobacco, and betting. He says, people always puff a little more, drink a little more, and bet a little more when there's an economic downturn. I say, wow, is that where people find the peace that passes understanding? Of course not. Of course not. We have to turn to some greater food, something else to find that. You know, we have to guard our hearts and understand that. And what this is saying to us, give us, in good times and in bad, give us. We trust you, God. We're not going to worry about those things. We're going to trust that you'll give us everything that we need. And then right in Matthew, right after he talks about when you pray, and he tells his disciples what to pray, he goes through this long story. You remember it in Matthew 6 when he says these things, therefore do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. Look at the birds of the air. They don't harvest or reap, yet God takes care of them. Aren't you more important to God than these? And he's saying, don't worry. He's saying, I've got this. Your Father in heaven will give you everything you need. So pray, give us our daily bread. But then when you think about it, how does God do that? I mean, I look at the church a lot of times, even in my life, I pray, and what I do is I'll turn around and I pray for something, and I'm waiting for, poof, you know, there it is. Is that how it happens? We expect that a lot of times. We expect something instantaneous, but that's not how it happens. I sit down at a meal. You'll sit down at a meal today. You'll sit down. Maybe you'll go out to Chili's and order a burger and fries. And when you look at that plate today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the hens that that passed through to get from where it began to get to that plate for you. There was some farmer somewhere, some farmer who's either raising the livestock or the produce or the wheat or whatever it takes to make that bun and those fries to do that. And that was probably a long ways off from here, but that was their livelihood. And they prayed for rain and they nurtured and they brought that to a place where it could be harvested. And then it was harvested, and then it somehow got into a truck or a train. It was carried off to where it would be processed, where that grain would be turned into flour. And then that flour was sold to a bakery, and it was trucked or trained off to a bakery somewhere where that was turned into all different kinds of products of bread. And what was made for you was a bun. You know, and that bun went back on a train or a truck, and it went somewhere. It went off to a place where it would be distributed out to grocery stores and restaurants. And that bun for you, it made it to a restaurant. And then there was a cook or a chef or somebody who took that bun and they might have grilled it or done something else to it. And then they put that piece of meat on there and they put it on a plate. And then somebody else came and they took that plate and they brought it to your table. Do you see how many hands all of these things pass through? So when we say, God, give us our daily bread, God has worked through all of these people to bring that burger and fries right to the place that's in front of you. Do you ever think of how important that meal blessing is? You do that, right? Doesn't matter whether you're at home at a restaurant or where, you say, thank you, God, because a lot has happened to get that right here in front of me. That's how God works. It's not poof. He works through all these people doing what needs to be done to get that daily bread so it's right in front of you. And you know, at the same time, he calls you to give somebody else their daily bread. Now, we have very active feeding ministries here. It doesn't matter whether you're off in Downing or Pottstown at Chosen 300, or if you're one of those people that hands out the 25 or 30 bags of groceries, or if you go over to IHN at Central Baptist and you make a meal for them and you spend some time with them. Every time we hand out that meal, we're saying, here, this is from us, but God's saying, no, it's from me. And we're just the instrument to answer somebody else's prayer. When we say this Lord's Prayer and we say, give us this day our daily bread, you know, I think it just rolls off our tongues. But I think of those people at Chosen 300 in Pottstown, when they say that prayer, it's much more defined. It's deeper. Because if you're not there handing it to them, would they get one? I don't know. There's people who are going to show up Wednesday and Thursday. They're depending on you for their groceries. And if we didn't hand that to them, would they get one? You see, there's two ways this happens, that God gives us our daily bread and we also give others their daily bread, because we have three purposes, and I've talked to you about this before. The first purpose for humanity as children of God is, one, to accept God's love. God loves to give love away. The first thing we do is called to accept it. The second thing we're called to do is reciprocate and love God back through our praise and our singing and our prayers. And the third thing is to do God's will, to be his voice and hands here, and to be the instrument and the answer to other people's prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God invites us to trust him. He invites us to love him and to use this prayer as a way to build contentment and trust and love. You know, I wonder, sometimes we are the answers to other people's prayers. We roll up our sleeves and we do these things. And you know, there's many different ways that we do that. Sometimes it's feeding, you know, somebody out of our pantry here. Sometimes you're at work and you're just walking down and you look into a cubicle and you might realize that somebody has had a tear in their eye or something, and you just stop and say, hey, you look a little discouraged. You know, I noticed things might have been a little tough around here for you lately. I just want to let you know, I was thinking about you. I said a prayer for you. When you do that, you don't know if that person was looking for somebody to just respond to them. You might be answering the prayer in that moment of reaching out to that person in Christ's name. It's so important, all of these things that we do, and we're called to be aware of the times that God calls us into that. Give us this day. This second phrase that we have here, this day, give us this day our daily bread, it's actually a combination of words in the Greek. Okay, this day. And it's a very interesting combination of words. It basically says, give us this day, from morning till dawn, everything that we need just for this day. Give me enough just for this day. And that's a challenge for us, right? Because we don't want enough just for this day. We want enough for today, and enough for tomorrow, and enough for the day after that, and the day after that. Why? Because we don't want to have to worry about it. And what Jesus is telling us, when you pray for this day, and then not worry about the rest, because God will provide what you need for this day. But we're not brought up that way, and we don't live that way. And the backside of this statement, God is saying to us, it's not always healthy for you to have more than what you need. Because when you have more than what you need, sometimes you feel you don't need me. And that's true, especially in a culture of affluence that we live in. We'd only have in our refrigerators and our pantries enough for this day. We've got enough for tomorrow, probably enough for the next week. And you know, when that's gone, we know where to get more. And we find ourselves not having to rely on God for those things. Now, we don't say, God, I don't really rely on you. We don't say that. We just live it. We live our lives that way. And God knows that. God knows that. And you know, John told the story about the manna this morning, and the other side of that story is God told the Israelites to go out and gather all the manna you need, 9.5 cups per person in your family, just enough for a day. That's all you need. But the Israelites couldn't do that. They couldn't accept the challenge. They went out and they gathered all they could, and they would put it in their pots and hold it to the next day. And when they got up the next morning and looked in their pots, what did they find? Worms. It had spoiled. It was all stinky. And God's saying, don't you get it? I'm taking care of tomorrow. I've given what you need for today. Be content with this. I'm counting on the fact that you're going to trust me every day to supply your needs. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for contentment. It's saying, God, help me to be content with what you give me today, because I know you've got this and you're going to take care of me in the future. Help me to not be that person that's constantly striving for more and more and more. And finally, give us this day our daily bread. Now, these are kind of confusing words. Bread's pretty easy. Artos in the Greek, when you see artos, it just means bread, okay? And it could be a symbolic bread. It could talk about food in general, a lot of things. But the other word, daily, that's a tough one. Daily in the Greek is epiousion. And epiousion is very special because when we look at this word in the Bible and we look through the rest of the New Testament, we find this word nowhere else other than this place where Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer. Actually, when we look in the Old Testament and through other places, we don't find this word anywhere, epiousion. If we look in ancient Greek literature, we find the word epiousion nowhere in ancient Greek literature. Only do we find it here in the scriptures that teach about the Lord's Prayer. So that tells us maybe Jesus was saying something in Hebrew or Aramaic that the disciples couldn't express in Greek. So they made up a word in Greek. So we break the word down, epi. Epi is a modifier, and basically that says upon, by which, around, or unto. And then ousion, we find this word in one other place, and it's used by the early church when they try to describe the relationship between Jesus and God. And the word ousion means of one substance, of one nature, of one foundation. So when we look at this word, daily bread, we say to ourselves, Jesus is telling us to pray for something that is of one substance, that which supports your very essence, that which supports your very nature. Your substance stands upon this, and that harkens back to the staff of life, something that we can lean on, that moves us forward in our relationship and our journey with God, your daily bread, that which sustains you. You remember Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and he didn't turn the stone into bread, but he said, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there was another time in the Bible when the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we know you're starving. We got to make you a meal. And Jesus turns to them and says, I have food that you don't know about. He was talking about daily bread. He was talking about that which upholds him. He was talking about his relationship with God, the prayer, the disciplines that he had to send him on a mission that only he could accomplish to lift him up and empower him. Physical food couldn't do that. His daily bread from his Father could do that. And you remember when he feeds the thousands of people with just a couple loaves of bread and there was plenty of left over, just to make sure everybody knew what he was saying, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry nor thirsty. Because I am the one, the bread of life. This is what Jesus offers us. It satisfies the yearning in our hearts. It closes the gap. It fills that gap in our heart that's made for Jesus. Now, I'm going to say something I really shouldn't say because I know I'm in Philadelphia Eagles country. But about 10 years ago, Tom Brady did an interview with 60 Minutes. And some like him, some don't. I totally get it. But he gave an interview with 60 Minutes. And at this point, he wasn't even 30 years old, and he had 3 Super Bowl rings. Okay? But I just want to show you a clip from this 60 Minutes. Go ahead, Kevin. You know, I watched that interview and I feel sorry for Tom Brady, but what I realize is he's experiencing something that we all experience at some time or another. The words of Isaiah tell us that, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? I don't think what we need is the words of Oprah or Dr. Phil. I think what we need is somebody to come alongside of us and say, there's somebody who loves you more than you could ever know. There's somebody who's going to love you and be there for you before you were famous and after you're not famous anymore, whether you make a lot of money or don't make a lot of money. There's somebody who loves you whether you're handsome or not handsome or pretty or not pretty. There's someone who longs to let you know you have a purpose and there's hope. And I think we all go through that at some point in our life, and it's a very important thing to know that we all need that. We all need that. We all have a yearning in our hearts for that relationship with God. And the truth is, when I look at us as a church, I sometimes look at us and say, I know you know that. I know we all know that we need this in our lives, but sometimes I look at us and I think of the bread of life, you know, the staff of life, and I say, I think we're a little malnourished sometimes. Sometimes we walk out of here on a Sunday afternoon and we feel we've had our meal for the week, and what we do is we go out in there into the world and we let the world just feed us garbage all week, and then we come back here next Sunday morning just worn out. Oh, I need this again. And what we have to do is we have to realize when we go out of here and tomorrow morning when we pick up that devotional and we read that scripture and that story and then we say that prayer to God, that's a meal. And when we get up in the morning, we say that prayer, God, here I am again. Walk with me. Will you be my companion today? Can you help me do a little bit better today than I did yesterday? That's a meal. And when at the end of the day, when we come back and we get back on our knees and say, God, I screwed up today. I didn't make it. But will you help me tomorrow? Will you help me do a little bit better? That's a meal. And when we have those meals throughout the week, our soul is nourished and nurtured, and it's filled with these things. And we come back in here on Sunday morning, not worn out and tired because the world has its way with us, but we come back here knowing that we're empowered by God, and we found something that can change not only our lives, but everyone else. You know, for this sermon today, I did something. I've never baked bread before, but today I said, you know something, I'm gonna bake some bread. So I baked some bread. It doesn't look like much, but I'll tell you what, you know, when you bake bread and you take that warm bread out of the oven, you go, oh my gosh, it is. I baked this morning down in the kitchen. This is incredible. It's just simple bread, you know. But you eat that, I'm sorry you can't have any. It's just incredible. You've been sitting here for, what, an hour or so now? You're probably hungry, but it's a symbol. And God's saying, I've got this for you. And it'll fill your soul, and it's warm. It's right out of the oven. It'll draw us closer. It'll give you everything you need to be out there so you can still be me and be my child and do all of these things. It's a symbol of Christ and the gift that he's given us. And when we come together and we do this, it's as close as we can get to having Christ right here with us in our lives. It's a reminder. This physical loaf is a reminder that God will supply your needs. It's a prayer of contentment. It's a prayer that also says you're there to supply someone else's needs. You're the answer to prayer in this world. And it's a reminder that you'll never be alone, that this body was given for you, and every time you eat it, remember Christ. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray.